Now, Nealis O'Connor, who we spoke to at the start of the protest last week, he was very active at Fine's blockade over the number of days, one which was voluntarily stood down over the weekend. Nealis, good morning to you and thanks for joining me again on the programme. Can you just clarify for us, first of all, I suppose, look, what happened and why you made the decision to, I suppose, stand down the protest or the blockade of Fine's?
Good morning, Jerry, and good morning to all your listeners. Look, we made a decision yesterday morning to stand down on the basis that we were having an effective, peaceful protest, and that was the that was the main outcome, or that was the main point of the protest. Okay, and so we have that. We done that, and we have got the government were inside drafting up a package for to mitigate the. We're hoping mitigate. The costs to businesses and the general public around the country, and we felt that we would dissolve our protest and go home, get rest, and see what the package is about.
That's what you were waiting to do. So now that you've seen the details of this package, how are you feeling about it?
Look, how am I feeling about it personally myself? I feel they could have done a lot more, but we have to wait and see. Reading the lines of the public, they're not happy. They have done absolutely nothing for kerosene. And the 10 cent that they will reduce at the pumps will be eaten up by the looks of it in with the conflict in the Middle East. So, look, it's a starting point, Jerry. There's no doubt it's a starting point. It's just a shame, as I said this from the start, it's just a shame that we had to go out on the road for 6 days to make the government come to the table with this package. And it'll just tell you how the touch they were, right? When they went in to meet on Saturday, government officials were actually going to bring them back tomorrow. They didn't even want to meet them on a Sunday. So they actually were going to leave it go until tomorrow. So that just tells me they didn't realise the seriousness of how people are hurting around this country.
Are you disappointed that they didn't meet any of the appointed leaders of the protest and of the blockades?
Extremely. And I feel if they had done that, we wouldn't be in the position we were. And we wouldn't have been having... I feel they should have met them and engaged. You have to engage, Jerry, to dissolve any issue. Mm. You can't ignore it. You can't bury your head in the sand and hope it'll go away, because it won't. It escalates people. It maddens people and it frustrates people as well. And that's what was below all the protests. Real frustration with what I would call arrogance. And that's a big word now, arrogance. And I will call it out. Arrogance.
You think they're arrogant, the government?
I do. I think they've lost touch, Jerry, completely with the working person on this ground. Completely. And you have seen that. You can't deny that, even as a journalist. Going around this country, look at Tralee yesterday, look at Killarney, look at Listowel, look at Listowel again today, there's a protest. Why are they going out protesting? Because they're frustrated, Jerry. That's why. Simple and clear, frustrated and tormented and upset and mental pressure and financial pressure, and they're not addressing it. Can you imagine for a government just in a crisis talks on Saturday or Friday to say that they'd go back and they'd meet him again on Tuesday. Yeah. That's not how you do business.
I understand their point, though, Nealis, when they talked about not meeting the leaders of the protest, that, as Micheál Martin put it, that he felt your actions were putting a gun to their heads, saying, we will stop the flow of fuel into this country and food and everything else until ye meet with us and agree to our demands.
Right, I'll address that point now. And I said this to the Leicester. There was an appointment made with Irish Farmers Association and the Farmers Contractors Ireland to go in and open dialogue with the government on the Tuesday before. They met the Taoiseach and they met the Minister for Agriculture, Martin Hayden. They put an 8-point proposal to them, basically around the excise of fuel and peers, a few different issues. I don't have the document with me to hand, but it was basically about the costs, input costs at business level and at all the different levels, right? They told them clearly at that meeting, crystal clear, that they'd be back rapidly to them, right? So that was Tuesday. And it was the following Tuesday night, Jerry, that the action was taken. Mm. Now, if someone says to me in my business that they want something done rapidly, I would nearly think it would be, if it wasn't tomorrow, I would definitely, if someone rang me to cut silage and they're under pressure, I won't be coming to them in a week's time. And that's where the problem arisen, Jerry. And you're talking about arrogance. That's where I'm talking. I want to be clear about this.
No, I understand.
We did
that.
Not want this. Yes.
They didn't move anywhere near fast enough for you. But what would you say to the point that they have to manage what is a rolling situation, which itself is unprecedented, possibly the worst energy crisis that we've ever had? We again, yesterday, had actions of Donald Trump blockading the Strait of Hormuz. The price of a barrel of oil is up 7.72% today to $102 a barrel, which again means more trouble for us down the line and will swallow up some of what's been announced by the government. In other words, what happens if worse happens next month and the month after and October?
Right.
That we're all in a better situation. They have to manage it from the point of view of the money they have and what may be coming down the line, which might not be pretty.
Okay, that's a great point. And let's address it. We have no control whatsoever of the price of the barrel of oil. So we have no control of the oil that comes into Whitegate, Lough and Cork. That's a completely separate issue. Where we have an issue, Jerry, and I'm going to address this again this morning, the dearer the fuel coming into the country, the more the tax take from the government. And in our situation as farmers and contractors, diesel at 90 cent a litre is 10 cent back to the government. And I understand completely, and I'm not opposing that. They need tax to run the country, and we always understand that. But there is no justification, Jerry, for when diesel goes up to 150, that they take 20 cent a litre VAT. That's a double tax take on businesses. It's crazy. It's irresponsible is what I call it. And extremely, extremely bad management. Well, and that should have been addressed above the Department of Finance yesterday.
There are legal requirements there in terms of energy and carbon.
Jerry, there was legal requirements this morning about the excise on fuel and they're able to mitigate it.
Well,
so don't come on to me telling me about this and that.
They're looking for permission after the fact.
They're the government of this country, Jerry. They're the government of this. They run this state, Jerry. They run this state. Okay, just let people get that into their heads. They run this state. And they can do it if they want to do it. But they do 6 million a month alone, they're taking an extra in VAT, crippling businesses, crippling the public, and crippling everyone. And they're too arrogant to see that.
Okay, what do you say to people who would suggest that ye were arrogant in your decision to blockade the ports? You're unelected, you had a meeting, you said, we're going to do this, it's unprecedented, it's never been done before, you broke the law, Nihalas. And a lot of people out there, there may be plenty of people who support it, other people say, hold on a second now, there's a way of doing things. You have a representative organisation, you advocate for change. If you're not happy with what the government are doing, then you start activating on the ground, put the work in, get yourself elected maybe, if you want the country run better. Instead of
let's
just saying,
let's be clear
right,
on that. I'll explain it
tomorrow.
I take your point. We opened dialogue, Jerry. They ignored it. Right. I was a spokesman. Let's be clear in Fines. I didn't organise it. I was there as one of the protesters at Fines. But I was a spokesman. I engaged constructively from day one with Inspector Michael Fleming, or the Superintendent Michael Fleming. I never blocked the port. We left out chemicals for the water infrastructure from the second we landed there.
Yeah.
We left out five loads of fuel. Let me be clear, Jerry. You asked the question and I'm answering it.
Yeah.
We opened the port for fuel and we opened it for feed.
Yeah.
The government were hitting us every second. Oh, there's no fuel for frontline workers. We had to make a stand, Jerry, because we were getting messages from business people who were going into financial situations where they were going to go bankrupt. We have Paddy Kennelly buses this morning saying he's cancelling his contracts for the school runs because he's not able to afford to stay going. We have Cardle Plantyre up the country, one of the biggest agricultural contractors in the country, selling out. These are businesses, Jerry, that are selling out due to excessive taxes on fuel. That's the bottom line here. See, and our backs were to the wall, Jerry, and we were desperate.
That justified the blockade. It was a desperate action.
100% desperation, Jerry, financial desperation and arrogance will drive you to any protest, correct?
Okay, are you going to do what's going to happen now? Niels, from your point of view, with, I suppose, the protest organisers or what happens down the line? We have some members of, I think, one of the four is calling for a national day of strike. We had a report this morning, the Ghost Lone Ring of Skiddy, some people claiming they were going to block the Port of Cork. What happens next?
We're going to have to regroup, Jordy, and we're going to see what's going to happen, right? But let's just talk to the general public this morning. People need to understand that Micheál Martin and Simon Harris have ignored every person in this country. And it took these ordinary, decent
people. Can you really say that? Yeah. €750 million of a package, which is the highest per capita of any government in Europe, and you're saying they're ignoring the people in the country?
When did they come back? When did they announce it, Jerry? When what was done?
Well, they announced €250 million first, and they announced €500 million.
Okay, yeah, and that was mitigated. That was eaten up instantly. As I'm saying now, it was eaten up instantly by the price of the barrel of oil.
Yeah, but would
because
it be
they didn't do
they
what
didn't
we
do
said.
Then?
They didn't cap the fuel. You see, it's very simple, Jerry, to cap the fuel. And they don't seem to understand it. It's actually frightening, because I was talking to a minister about it, and he couldn't get his head around it. What we're saying is, cap agri-diesel at 90 cent a litre. Take your VAT and tax at that. Yeah. At source, right? The government have projections for the year done, Jerry, and the amount of fuel, the excise and fuel they take in, because it's not going to fluctuate much, maybe 10 or 12%, I would think, over the year. Right? So that was what we wanted.
Sorry, did you just say fuel is only going to fluctuate 10 or 12% over the year?
No, I said that the amount of fuel used per year will fluctuate maybe 10%.
Okay, yeah.
And they have their projections done on what excise they're going to get in from fuel. And fuel is roughly balancing out around 160, 170 with the last 3 years, and agri-diesel around 90 cent. And what we said was, cap the fuel at 90 cent, take your VAT and excise at 90 cent, and what is left after that, sell it at source with no VAT or no excise. And they'd still have their money that they need to run the country, and they wouldn't be taking the money off the hard-working person in this country. It was a simple ask, but unfortunately, they are so distant from what I would call common sense, they can't do that.
Okay.
And, it's a common sense approach,
Jerry. You think what they've done now still isn't enough?
Because it'll be eaten up, Jerry, with the conflict. It will be eaten up, Jerry, by the conflict, because but they'll be having their more tax. They're still going to get more tax, Jerry. Let's be 750. It's 500 million now, the last. Don't be spinning off that. It's 500 million,
no,
this one, Jerry.
No, I'm not spinning anything.
The protest.
Niels, 250 million was the original package, and it's now 505 million on top of that. That's 750 million.
Due to the protests, they get 500 million. Just be clear on that now. Yeah. Due to the protests, right? How much of that 500 million now is going to be eaten up on extra excise in the next few months?
That's your point, you're saying. But that's the extra excise is because of the increase in the barrel of oil, which is outside of the government's control.
And VAT, the most important one. That's the people that are feeding these at the pumps, Jerry.
Okay, and what do you say then, Niels, to the idea or the reality that 750 million will have to come from somewhere? Notwithstanding the surplus the government have right now and have had for the last couple of years, that money is money that's not going to go towards capital infrastructure projects, health services, education, and also the real pressures that are under the demographics in this country, preparing for a population that's aging, care for older people in homes, that money will have to come from somewhere, doesn't grow on trees.
Okay.
In response to that.
I understand it. So let me be clear, as a business person, right?
And I'm saying that in the context of this war continuing for a long time.
Of course, I understand where you're coming from, and I appreciate
it. We've yet to be hit really with the increases in the price of goods in shops, the electricity cost that people will face coming into next winter, and the budget that has to be considered. That they have to worry about all of that, in addition to excise and fuel.
Okay, what are we in? We're in a war time, Jerry. This is war.
Yeah.
Right, let's start there. We're in a war. It's just like a business. When a business hits a bad year, what does it do? It doesn't go and invest. It slows down investment. It concentrates on where the money is needed. And you regroup again. This war is not going to last forever.
But the government isn't a business. It's totally different to running a business.
Jerry, it's the same. It runs as a business.
It's not.
Of course it is.
It's cost issues like this from the weekend. You have to find 750 million. It might be similar, but it's not quite the same, is it?
We have a surplus, Jerry. We're running a surplus in the country.
For
they can afford it.
I remember, Niles, and people listening this morning remember 15 years ago when it disappeared overnight and we had to find €30 billion. Thousands and thousands of people lost their jobs. More had to immigrate and the country had lost its economic sovereignty. Because
Jerry, we were sorely depending on one sector and one sector only construction.
Because of mismanagement.
Mismanagement.
Because of mismanagement of national finances. Now, the politicians there today, many of them were in power then or came to power after it, and they remember that lesson, and it was hard learned.
Okay.
So that's
Let's be clear on that. The financial collapse in this country happened because of the collapse of the building boom, Jerry. We have still a good tax here coming in this country. We have foreign investment.
We're hugely dependent on about four US multinational companies for a huge portion of that surplus.
Particularly because we have an extremely intelligent administration in the United States. They're in this country, Jerry, because they have an extremely good workforce.
Yeah,
and they have, and that's why they're here. And they're, and obviously with the 12.5% tax, that's why they're here. They're solid. They have solid investments put in here, Jerry. I cannot see why these people will be pulling out this country with the amount of investment they have put in here. I understand your point, and you said to me about the collapse 13 years ago happened crystal clear, Jerry, because of a financial collapse in the building construction boom.
The same thing you're saying now, people said about the banks, safest houses, money in the bank. And yet banking collapsed. The building boom collapsed. It disappeared practically overnight.
Why did they collapse, Jerry? Because they were solely depending on building construction. You know that well.
Yeah.
The bonds were in infrastructure that collapsed.
I've said it several times now. We are dangerously exposed to four major companies and what they decide in boardrooms in Silicon Valley. That's the concern.
And we as the public, Jerry, and as business people are dangerously exposed to going into liquidation. And that's the facts. And you have to help people that need it.
Haven't acted quickly enough. Do you think this will continue, though, Neil? My point to you is, do you think the protest organisers over the weekend, I won't say an organisation because I know, as you said, you weren't organising it, but do you think that you'll be back for more? Or you feel that more needs to be done?
I can't answer that, Jordan. I'm not going to answer that because I don't know. Yeah. That's like asking how long is a piece of string.
You're regrouping at the moment.
But I just want to make the point crystal clear. And I want everyone to listen to this closely. It was an awful thing for Jim O'Callaghan to engage with the army to take decent people off the streets that were peacefully protesting. That's what I will say. And he needs to relook at the mechanisms and the way he approached that. I do not agree with that. I do not agree wholeheartedly with it. It hurt people. It angered people. Actually, to be fair, that's what brought out a lot of the crowd in the protest we had in Fines when the Taoiseach and Jim O'Callaghan came there. And he hadn't, listening to the interviews this morning, he didn't even engage with Helen McEntee about it.
Mm.
Okay. He went off on a solo run himself.
Okay.
And before we finish up, Jerry, and on a lighter note, we have our debate now, and that's where it's at. I want to thank everyone that came, that supported it. I want to thank the people that stood at both gates blowing fines. I want to thank everyone that fed us and found us. And look, I think we made friends for life down there, and it was just a show of unity. And I want to thank everyone from the bottom of my heart, okay?
Okay. All right, Neilis, thanks for giving us your time this morning. Neilis O'Connor there, who was active in Fines last week at the blockade of Fines Port. If you have a view on what he had to say about the government, about why they did what they did, get in touch with us.